One of my roles as dad is I am oftentimes the designated, oh, by the way, would you stop the grocery store person? Because it seems like there's always that one thing that if we're going to get dinner on, everything was planned and then we realized we're out of carrots. Or dinner was planned and we realized somebody drank the last of the milk and didn't tell anybody. And so I get the phone call, or nowadays in the 21st century, more often than not, the text message that says, oh, by the way, on your way home, or would you please, or can you stop in and do the little grocery run. So I go in and I do the little grocery run. I'm trying to eat healthier these days because my doctor wants me to, and I want to do what my doctor wants me to do. Not because I really care that much about what my doctor thinks of me, but because I'd like to stay alive a lot longer, and I think that's probably a really good idea. And so part of my tradition in going and doing the oh, would you stop run has shifted slightly, because at one point in my life, the oh, would you go do the stop run included a little reward for myself. You know, you've got the eggs, you've got the milk, you've got the bread, you've got the carrots that we needed for dinner. And oh, by the way, as you're going through that line, you're going to grab yourself a candy bar as well, because that's your reward for being the oh, would you stop guy. I've gotten better. I don't do that sort of thing quite so much anymore because I'm trying to watch everything that I do. But have you noticed that the grocery stores have figured us out? I say that the grocery stores have figured us out because if you look at the cart, you go to Meijer's, there's the nice big cart, there's the seat for the kid, but if you look really carefully, there's a little tray right there by the handle. I call that one the candy bar tray. Because that's where you grab the candy bar and you put it there and you do the rest of your grocery shopping. They've got us figured out. They said, we're going to want a little treat tray here for the people that are going to reward themselves for going to the grocery store. Now, I'm going to tell you a problem with the candy bar tray. The problem with the candy bar tray is self-checkout, because we all do self-checkout now, don't we? So you go through self-checkout, and you zap through the milk, and you zap through the bread, and you zap through the carrots, and you put them all in the bag, and you walk out the door. And as you get out the door, and you're headed towards your car, you look down, and there in the candy bar tray is still the candy bar, the one you didn't pay for, that somehow nobody noticed is there in the candy bar tray. This has happened to me more times than I really want to count. So what do? The candy bar tray is there in the candy bar tray, and there's the candy bar that you didn't pay for. If you're like me, you turn the cart around, you go back inside, and you zap through the candy bar, and you put $1.25 on your credit card. Beep. I don't do that because I'm afraid that they're going to catch me, because they didn't catch me. I got all the way out the door. I successfully grand theft candy barred my way out of the building. And I gotta say, I was in Walmart the other day. I'm walking out of Walmart and they're, you know, checking the receipts and whatnot. Young lady with a great big floppy hat and sunglasses on goes past me, and as she goes through the doors, the alarms go off. Whoop, 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 whoop. And the guy who's taking the receipt says, ma'am, I need you to come back. We needed to, because she didn't have a bag or anything, we need to check your purse. And she just takes off out the door as fast as she can go. She's just trucking through the parking lot, just as quick as she can up that hill back where, you know, White Castle used to be. I'm going to tell you, the response rate at Walmart is not impressive. The guy at the door went, huh. Okay, and he goes back to checking people's, you know, receipts. And I'm thinking to myself, I've been paying for stuff at Walmart. Apparently it's optional. Eventually the police did show up, and I saw them later searching the woods for the lady. So they did call, but it did not seem like it was a huge priority in the moment. Except for some of the folks that were watching the lady take off. And I love the people's response watching the lady take off, because everybody gets out their phones, right? Everybody's got their phones out, and they're recording the lady taking off. Whoop, 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 whoop. The alarm's going off. The woman's running away. The guy with the receipts is checking people's receipts again. Everybody's standing around. My favorite response was, there was a lady with her son, And he looked like he was late teens, maybe early 20s, I think. And he kept saying to his mom, "Mom, just let me go. I can catch her. She's not that fast." And his mom was like, "Just stay. I can get her." And his mom was like, "Shh. I'm not worried that somebody's going to chase me down in the Meyer parking lot because I've got the candy bar in the candy bar tray. Because I don't think people really care that much that they're going to chase me down." Although that guy really wanted to take his shot. He'd seen a lot of cop shows, and he was like, "I know what to do." My favorite, "She's not that fast." I don't turn around to pay for the candy bar in my candy bar tray because I feel crushing guilt. Because it's a mistake. I didn't put it there in the candy bar tray and be like, "Nah, nobody's gonna notice that." This is a simple, honest mistake, and good Lord knows that I've been overcharged at the grocery store on stuff that's supposed to be on sale enough times they probably owe me a bunch of money. No. I turn around, I go back in, I zap the candy bar in because my integrity costs more than $1.25. Because doing the right thing is more valuable to me than a $1.25 candy bar, which I still think is almost a crime that a candy bar is $1.25. It matters to me to do the right thing because it's the right thing, and being the sort of person who establishes a habit of doing the right thing is what builds character. Character is what builds values. Values are what bring us happiness and joy and peace in life. And so going back in to pay for the candy bar in the candy bar tray that I know they just put the tray there so as I would buy a candy bar in the first place isn't about guilt, isn't about fear of being caught, isn't about anything other than a desire to be the person that does the right thing. Jesus and his disciples are being accused of doing the wrong thing. They're saying to Jesus and his disciples, "We've noticed your disciples are disobeying God's law. They are not keeping to the restrictions and the strictures laid out in the scriptures. They are lawbreakers." And you may say, "Well, they didn't wash their hands before they ate, and that maybe is a little gross, but it's not necessarily immoral." But of course, there are passages in the scripture that tell us that we should wash our hands before we eat our food. And to be fair, that's not a bad idea. We all agree that's a good idea, right? If you can, you should definitely wash your hands before you eat. There are scripture passages that say you should wash your dishes. As a parent who assigns that chore on a regular basis to his children, I can tell you it's a good law. You should wash your dishes. There are scripture passages that say you should take out the trash. Believe it or not, there's sizable quantities of biblical scripture that deal with how you take your garbage out. There's lots of scriptures in the Bible telling us to do a variety of things, all of which are more or less really great ideas. I don't know why the Israelites needed laws that told them that they were not allowed to eat bugs or bats. I think you look at the animal and go, "I'm not eating that." But they needed a law that told them don't eat bugs or bats. These are good rules. But why do we have these rules? You see, the Bible is broken down into two different sets of laws in the Old Testament. We have what are known as ceremonial laws, and then we have what are called divine laws. Divine laws are when God says, "Thou shalt do this," or "Thou shalt not do that." Ceremonial laws are when the people of Israel were given a reminder that they might use to remember the divine law. For example, and I've used this one all the time, they weren't allowed to have a cheeseburger because you couldn't have milk and meat in the same meal. Seems like a weird law. I mean, maybe they're all lactose intolerant. I don't know. But you can't have milk and meat in the same meal. Why is this? This is because when the Israelites moved into the land of Canaan, the Canaanites worshiped this horrible, horrible god called Molech. And one of Molech's worship services was he would take a baby calf and he'd boil it in his mother's milk as a sacrifice to the god Molech. Well, the Israelites looked at God's divine law and said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Worship no other graven images or idols." And the Israelites said, "Okay, well, we don't want to break that divine law. What do we do with this whole milk meat thing that the Molechites do? We don't want to look like or accidentally break God's divine law. Let's make a ceremonial law that says, just don't have milk and meat in the same meal and you don't ever have to worry about it. You have no chance of accidentally eating milk from the same cow as the cow that you're eating's mother." I think that's the right order of them. So it's a ceremonial law whose sole purpose is to point to the divine law. The sole purpose is to point to the divine law, and the divine law's sole purpose is to point to God. So we have this order within the structure of the Old Testament. And if you imagine it sort of like the spokes on a wheel, everything points to the center, to God. So, Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they are looking for some way to question the integrity of Jesus' disciples and followers. And they're watching them, and they go, "We got them." They did not wash their hands. They did not wash their hands, so they're unclean. They have broken our rules. They are bad people. Jesus takes them to task for what they said. So look. You've become so focused on these ceremonial rules that you only care about the ceremonial rules. You don't do anything in your life to point towards God with how you live, how you behave, how you speak, how you treat one another. Nothing in your life points back to God. Everything, in fact, points back to yourself. You're only offended that they have unclean hands because you're offended that people are listening to them more than you. You're jealous because you want everything to point back to you. Well, guess what? These fellas, they should have washed their hands. Sure, okay, fine. But not washing their hands does not make them unbelieving, because everything about their life right now is dedicated to pointing towards God. And nothing, Jesus says to the Pharisees, in your life right now is dedicated to pointing towards God. The whole point of the ceremonial laws and the divine law is to point to God. The whole point of the ceremonial laws is to point to the divine law. The divine law points to God. Nothing in your life points towards God. Jesus later goes on to accuse them of cheating widows and taking money from orphans and abandoning their parents in their old age and taking bribes and graft and all sorts of evilness, because they're all pointed internally. They're all pointed at themselves. We have this wonderful gift, which is baptism, that we celebrate today. And it is a marvelous, incredible, wonderful thing. And we celebrate this young new life, and we are so thrilled to have a new person, Gwen Elizabeth, here among us, as a part of Christ's community. But we don't baptize her. We don't baptize her because it makes a really awkward conversation at Thanksgiving dinner if you haven't done the baptism. We don't baptize somebody because it's a rite of passage, we all did it. We don't baptize somebody because it makes a really great photograph to have in your photo album for later on in life. We baptize someone because it points to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that is promised for each and every one of us in order that we might have life, life abundant, life everlasting, by being baptized into his life, death, and resurrection. That water and word that has the grace and forgiveness of Christ points to God. The service of baptism points to God. It is our way of pointing to what God is doing in our midst and saying, God is incredible. His love, grace, and mercy overcomes sin and even death itself. We are about doing the actions that point towards God. So when the Pharisees and the Sadducees say, well, they ate with unclean hands, so they're not worthy of the kingdom of God, Jesus is like, everything they do points to the kingdom of God. Nothing you do points to the kingdom of God. Who are you to judge them? Our lives are a choice. Our lives are a choice. We choose each day, we choose each action, we choose even in each moment to whom we point. With what we do, with what we say, with how we say it, with how we do it, we either point back to ourselves, say, hey, look at me, or we point at somebody else, like we don't want them to look at me, or we point at God. We baptize people to the glory of God. And it's really easy to forget that when we baptize people to the glory of God to show forth the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, as marvelous and incredible as that is, we baptize people to the glory of God. We also drive our cars to the glory of God. We pay for our candy bars that we forgot in the candy tray to the glory of God. We talk to the customer service representative from India after being on the phone for an hour and a half to the glory of God. We pay our taxes to the glory of God. We cross the street to the glory of God. We get out of bed in the morning, we put on our slippers to the glory of God. Everything we do ought to point to the one for whom we have received our salvation. Everything we do is an act of pointing to God. Jesus says, it is not what goes into a person that defiles them, it is what comes out of the person that defiles them. And when what comes out of us points away from God or detracts from the glory of God in our lives, that defiles us. But when what we do points to God and illuminates God's presence in our lives and demonstrates how the grace and mercy of God is in action in our lives, that actually is what makes us. So Jesus' disciples are not ignoring the law for the sake of ignoring the law. I mean, let's be honest. He chose for himself a bunch of fishermen. These guys have definitely eaten lunch before without washing their hands. I mean, he picked guys that work at tasks where that's not a reasonable expectation. But everything they did in their lives pointed to God with everything they could. And yeah, they probably did wash their hands most of the time. We are called to live as they live. Serve as they serve, be as they were, to give glory to God in every little thing that we do, no matter how major and life-changing or small and inconsequential, every day is an opportunity to point to God. Amen.